Toll tape.
The champ is
Champions
here.
Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
Welcome to Urban Media Today Radio. I'm your co-host, Bill Neal, along with Kevin Cameron. It is Soul Take, Champions Live Sports Talk Show.
We're joined today by a local sports. You might be too young to be called a legend, Marcus. You're a local sports legend in the making. Can you roll with that?
I can roll with that.
All right. Marcus Robinson, by way of Alderdice. Well, you got to go to high school somewhere. Alderdice will be just fine.
Have to get your education,
well,
Bill.
I'm saying, it's not Shinley.
Hey, well,
if you think basketball and you think a person that's a legend in development, you think Shinley.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't think Alderdice.
But, and it's Black History Month, so, I mean, we all need to get an education, right?
Well, what I do know for a fact is not Penn Hills, but that's not the point either. Everybody can't go to Penn Hills. But we're here today with Marcus Robinson by way of Alderdice, by way of Stony Brook, and he should have been in the NBA. And I know that's true because I told him. You know, given my career in coaching and seeing the best of the best, I told Marcus a couple years ago, pack up your bags, a bologna sandwich and a bag of chips, and drive up to Cleveland and just walk in training camp and see what they tell you.
Do what you have to do.
He was that good. Marcus, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity. What's up, Pittsburgh? What's up, Nation?
Yeah, we're national, man. We didn't blew up. We didn't got big.
Yeah.
Trevin's on the wheel of steel. We're going to talk a lot of stuff about basketball. That's Marcus. That's what Marcus does, and he does it well. He's done some other things, too, but as a matter of fact, he's done a lot of other things. We'll talk about all of that in the first hour. In the second hour, we're going to come back and talk about Black history in relationship to athletics. The first Black person to do this, the first Black person to do that, the first Black in Black history. And Trev will join us and kick in his historical Black college information, of which he's loaded, and as everyone pretty much knows, he's the voice of numerous Black college athletic events. So we'll do all that in the second half, and Marcus might stick with us a little bit to kick into that, because there's certainly a lot of Black history as it relates to basketball in this city, beginning with certainly Chuck Cooper being the first Black man to play pro basketball. But we'll get back to that. But Marcus, as we kick off, this is our fourth show of the season. So we got you in the upper echelon. You only followed the great JT Thomas, four-time Super Bowl, the great Robin Cole, two-time Super Bowl. And who else, Kev? Didn't we have somebody else?
We just had Dapp, Darrell Porter.
Oh, and Darrell Porter.
I want to see if Marcus has a slam the way Darrell Porter has a slam. That one dunk that you showed me that was all time.
Did you see Dapp's dunk on Alonzo Mourning?
No, I did not see Dapp's dunk on Alonzo.
When we were in basketball camp, but we were away from the but Dapp and Al Smith were over showing the kids Dapp's slam, because you know Jerome Lane is credited with having
exactly
the greatest dunk in Pitt basketball history.
Exactly.
And I was on that. So when Dapp asked the question, he said to all the campers, who here knows who has the greatest dunk in Pitt basketball history? You know, some of our kids are pretty sharp. And two of the young ladies in camp said it was Jerome Lane.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Dapp said, no.
No.
So when we did our first break, he had him in the corner. But you got to Google. It's on YouTube.
YouTube.
There's a dunk with Dapp reaching over a cat, dunking on Alonzo Mourning. And I'm correct. His head is at the rim, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
His head is at the rim.
I could imagine.
And being a high flyer yourself, you know, I shared with Kevin this afternoon. I said, not only is this guy accomplished as a ball player and done a lot of things with kids in the basketball world, so he's one of the all-time high flyers out of Pittsburgh. He's in my top 10 all dunk list, and that's a seriously hard list to make.
College or pro, you're saying all
Connie time? Hawkins, Summer League, all-time dunker. City League, Connie Hawkins League, Kennard League, Fifth Avenue League.
Okay, you're not talking NBA. You're not talking NBA. You're just talking.
No, we're talking here.
Okay.
But you know, I think it's safe to say if you can jump 44 inches here, you can jump 44 inches in New York.
Well, I mean, it's a big difference when you have Alonzo Mourning in front of you versus, you know, some others. So there is a big difference.
Well, apparently not if Darrell Porter has anything.
Well, that's why I asked, what level are you talking about?
No, it sounds like you questioned whether Marcus could jump.
Darrell was we might have to go check it out.
It sounds like you want to know Marcus.
Darrell was a big-time player, so.
You know, that's two insults, Kev. I'm just – Hold back, Marcus.
We coming. Don't worry.
Well, see, I'm going to tell you why that is.
Because
Kevin can still play.
I got you.
He's still got games.
That
competitive spirit. But look, man, tell us what you're doing in your world. You do a lot of stuff, and the Pittsburgh Bullets Pro Development Pro Team is your forte right now. So update us on that and all the other things you're doing with the game.
Yeah, so a little bit with what I'm trying to do. You know, we're 7 years in and essentially trying to create a force that will reinvigorate the basketball atmosphere in Western Pennsylvania. That was the primary initiative from the beginning when I started the organization in 2011, was to create an entity from the top down that will motivate our kids and give them access to the resources that they need in order to take better advantage of the basketball opportunities that come through Western Pennsylvania. I was reading an article not too long ago that talked about in the 70s, there were an equivalent number of Division I basketball scholarships that came out of Western Pennsylvania that were received in football scholarships this year, which was between probably 30 and maybe 50 scholarships, if not more than that. So that says a lot about once where we were as a basketball, you know, entity in Western Pennsylvania or in the world, and trying to create something that's going to get us back there. So.
Right, and even a lot of the big tournaments that used to be local gone away, such as the Round Ball Classic. When was the last time the Round Ball Classic was played here
Indeed.
In Pittsburgh?
Indeed. 20 years ago.
Five-star basketball camp that used to be out at Robert Morris College is no longer a basketball tournament here locally. So yeah. I definitely agree with what you're saying. Big difference in the landscape yesterday versus today.
Well, I had a conversation with B.B. Flannery and Bruce Atkins a couple weeks ago at the Hall of Fame induction. And I think everybody pretty much agrees that we had the privilege of seeing the greatest era of basketball in Western Pennsylvania that ever was and probably ever will be, certainly because of demographics, certainly because of families moving out of the city.
Indeed.
Certainly because of there's a different way of doing things. You know, AAU, in my opinion, changed the game for young people in basketball, and not all in a good way. Mm-hmm. There's some good things about AAU, to be sure, but you know, when you load up teams with all the best available talent and go play all the rest of the best available talent, it doesn't give the lesser talented kids a chance to develop. So there's some things about AAU that don't satisfy me, but I would have to say from 1964, although I didn't come on the scene until 70, from 1964 into 1978, 79 easily, but even going to 1984, the likes of Jeep Kelly, Sonny Lewis, Bruce Atkins, B.B. Flannery, Bill Varner, Bill Clark, Sam Clancy, the Fifth Avenue State Championship team, the three Schenley State Championship teams, you know, that kind of talent. And that's not even talking
about the Ambridge teams.
Ambridge,
The Farrell teams. Aliquippa teams.
Midland. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind of Jeff and Brent Lake out of Midland, the Slappies out of Midland, Oscar Jackson out of Beaver Falls, Automatic O, they called him. You know, it was an incredible time. And we had the privilege, Marcus, you probably missed the greatest of it. You started playing high school ball what year?
2003.
So you missed the greater part of it, but you had a chance to play with and see some of those legends.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, when you see a guy like Sam Clancy as a high school junior, who's 6'6 and 245 at that time, you have to say to yourself, when I met him, I was called to go look at this kid down on Fifth Avenue that was just unbelievable. And, of course, his legend had already been built up. But when I met him in person, and I, at the time, was playing football, I weighed 275, and he was bigger than me at 245. I mean, just a huge human being. I didn't think a high school kid could be that big.
Yeah.
Incredibly big and talented. So those kinds of legends, you know, Billy Varner that played at Notre Dame, Myron Brown, who came out of McKees Rocks by way of Slippery Rock, drafted in the second round by the Minnesota Timberwolves. I don't know that a Division II college will ever have a NBA draft pick in the second round. So all that to be said. So what's the update on the team? Is your schedule on or off? When's the next game? That kind of stuff.
Yes, the schedule is on PittsburghBullets.org. I keep it pretty well updated. We just recently, last weekend, had one of our largest events, our Stop the Violence Day, which is a gun violence initiative where we fortunately have the privilege of utilizing one of the local community centers to bring together families of one of the most dangerous neighborhoods in Pittsburgh and Homewood to bring us all together so that we can, around basketball and around community, begin to heal and explore the process of recovering from trauma that we've all experienced from gun violence. We're working on an arena deal, so we're working on bringing a brand new arena to Western Pennsylvania, a multi-million dollar arena, so that we can continue to move forward in bringing that NBA experience to the Western Pennsylvania, because as you mentioned, we have a very, very rich history in basketball, and hopefully through the Pittsburgh Bullets, we'll be able to better bring that history to light and expose it to the world.
Now, can you provide a little background regarding the name? Because the website, again, is PittsburghBullets.org.
Indeed.
Okay, but one of the things I would like to ask you about, I guess the nickname, mm-hmm. is the Bullets.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay, so the reason I'm asking is because the Washington, mm-hmm. what's their name
perfect.
Now?
Perfect.
Wizards.
The Wizards. Wizards
yep, used yep. to be named the mm-hmm. Washington Bullets.
Exactly.
Now, given the name, how does that work in? Because it seems like that's a name that we should stay away from.
Indeed. And the fortunate part was I did a survey in the beginning of the process, and that name was provided to me as a suggestion. And the best part about it is, one, like you did, it made that immediate connection with the Washington Bullets, which automatically separates me from any semi-pro organization here in the world, because when you think of the name Pittsburgh Bullets, you automatically think NBA, which lets you know what my aspirations are. As well as via the name Bullets, yes, it does bring some negative attention, but it reflects the reality of what's going on in the community here in Pittsburgh.
That's my concern, the negative attention, mm-hmm. that when you hear it, it automatically presents itself, mm-hmm. you know, with the Bullets. Mm-hmm. A lot of, you know, in today's society, we're in a very sensitive society.
Indeed.
So all of the words that are used
are powerful.
So we really need to be careful, you know, regarding the use of names and everything. Matter of fact, I believe the Cleveland Indians just decided to remove their emblem from their uniform.
Okay.
So I just wanted to get a little bit more detail as far as that, Bill. Well, I'm not sure about how you feel about it.
I know what Marcus knows, because
we discussed this several times.
Yeah, when he first started this whole operation, I was appreciative that he considered my opinion on anything. But I my first response was, he'll tell you that, I said, do we want to go with the word Bullets?
Right.
And he defended it, and I only suggested that might not be the way to go. But I can tell you this, in the time that he's operated the organization, I haven't heard not one negative response to the name. Mm-hmm. No one has offered anything through the paper.
Sometimes people don't tell you.
Well, that. No, I hear it all. I personally hear it all the time. Nobody
said anything to me about it, and I've considered yeah. it. I considered it in the beginning, but when I didn't hear much backlash, I figured, it was accepted.
And given the mass shooting in Florida and the continued issues we have with gun violence, that's something we all need to just be very sensitive about. So that's the first thing that
indeed.
I thought about with the name.
No, I totally agree. And that's why, as a result of the name, I make the extra initiative as a professional organization to be present in the community and making sure that our community has access to the resources that, like I mentioned, can help us relieve the pressures of the trauma via gun violence. So there was an organization, Jamar Place of Peace, a young lady named Miss Winona Harper came and spoke, who's an activist in the community, constantly every day fighting gun violence. There was another lady named Shannon Williams who came and spoke as a representative of Ceasefire Pittsburgh to educate the community on how we can better resolve and or come to a resolution to the things that are causing the gun violence, as well as, more importantly, to come to resolution around the emotional trauma that is a result of the things that we're going through.
All right, but how do we resolve LeBron James stacking his team in order to try to win a title? mean, it's you know,
and it not work.
What
is it going to work this year?
Well, but you know, there's somebody in the room, and I ain't gonna name names, Kevin Cameron, who thinks that you know there's this it's okay to stack your team and build your team and go out and get whatever you need to make it fit so you can beat the Golden State Warriors. So you know, my contention is this: is it LeBron? Is it the LeBron James League?
Or is
it the National Basketball Association?
Indeed, it definitely looks like.
What's your views on the NBA right now going on? I, for one, have been a Laker fan since 1970. When they hit the skids, I moved to Chicago with Michael and the boys.
Bandwagon fan. That's all you are, bandwagon fan.
And then after Chicago, and you know, listen, it was very simple for me. The coach left. Michael left. Scotty left. Even Tex, the defensive genius, left. I saw no reason for me to stay in Chicago.
I agree.
So I went back to the Lakers. Now, if you call that bandwagon.
Did Bill Cowher leave? Did Hines Ward leave? Players come and go. Coaches come and go. Your team is your team.
Can I get through this? So I don't know if you call that bandwagon. I go back home to my original team, and I'm there. But while my original team is regrouping, I'm in Golden State, so I don't understand what the problem is.
See, I'm an underdog fan, so I'm really impressed by some of the things that Andrew Wiggins has been able to do as a player. So I'm excited about the team that Minnesota has put together. They're young, they're athletic, and you know they're really competing right now. So any of the new developing teams, Phoenix, they're doing some things here with some young talent with the Booker kid, who's lighting the NBA up. As you know, one of the most impactful and one of the youngest scorers in the game right now. So,
well, I do think something has to be said or at least considered about, and I mean this in all sincerity, about the NBA itself having parity and somehow making sure that, you know, we don't have three powerful teams in the East and three powerful teams in the West and the other teams don't have an opportunity to develop. I mean, it's a better league when more teams are competitive.
Indeed.
Now, in the East, we obviously have – it was Boston, and now Cleveland has somehow emerged back in front with the shuffling of a eight-player deal.
Well, Cleveland is still in third place. You have Toronto that's leading the conference right now.
Yeah, the expectation is, based on what LeBron was able to do, would catapult Cleveland back into the top spot in the East, and then followed by Boston. And then Toronto, of course, would be considered, and Atlanta's going to give somebody a little bit of a breather, so – yeah, I don't know. That's the East.
Cleveland has a totally different team. Okay, yeah. So no, before the trade deadline, we talked about Cleveland being old, not having chemistry, not being able to play defense.
Said,
all of that has said, changed.
You
now.
Said when you said old, you kind of looked.
Well,
at me.
Hey,
was that
you
just
know you can relate to the category that you're in. That's the only thing that I can say. But they're a totally different team. But I would like to go back to what you mentioned before with LeBron James possibly leaving. If he wants to leave, he should leave. Okay, we're so used to teams being in a situation where they can call the shots. I'm happy to see the players are in a situation where they can call the shots. You know, we're sitting here in Pittsburgh. Andrew McCutchen was just traded this year. He didn't have any control over his situation. So for those players that have control over their situation, I'm for them. So what if he goes to Golden State?
But we're thinking about legacy, though.
It doesn't matter.
With Jordan, he's never going to be in the same boat.
And you know what? February this month is Black History Month. We always talk about, as black people, being able to call our own shots, okay, and being in control. This is a great opportunity, okay? And I love what the NBA just did this weekend with the All-Star game, a different format. Why did that occur? Because the commissioner of the NBA listened to feedback he was receiving, listening to the players. So you had that cooperation to say, hey, over the last 2 or 3 years, the All-Star game was horrible. What can we do to change it to make it better? So they sat down. And they actually changed the game. Did you have a chance, Marcus, to see the All-Star game?
Yes, I did get to see some of it.
Go ahead, Marcus.
I did get to see some of it. And there was a new energy around the game in reference to, you know, LeBron being able to pick his team and Steph Curry being able to pick his team, and it not being based upon the East and the West, which did make it more exciting because I enjoyed seeing, you know, LeBron play with Antetokounmpo and get back with Kyrie as well.
So, again, the change of format worked, and I hope it's something that they continue. They're even talking about now with having a draft. And I guess they really got this from the NFL, if you think about it, because, what, the last 2 or 3 years, the NFL changed their format. If you ask me, their game should just go away.
Yeah,
It doesn't make any sense to have it whatsoever. And I'm not sure if you had a chance to see the Pro Bowl this past year, but it was horrible. I mean, it got to the point where once contact occurred, they blew the whistle. Who wants to watch a game like that?
Here's why it's okay. Here's why it's okay. But I did want to ask you, did the commissioner hear anybody say don't do that damn celebrity game anymore? And apparently they didn't hear that. Because that's the worst spectacle known to sports.
Yeah, yeah, that's what
it needs to
say.
Be. That needs to be done away with.
The but you have part. The option to.
No, I'm just saying
to watch it or not.
Well, okay, likewise to the Pro Bowl, you have an option to watch the Pro Bowl or not. And people who quickly criticize and ridicule the Pro Bowl, I would say this: if you're one of the Pro Bowlers, they're about to give $50,000 to, and fly you to Hawaii with your family. You're going. And you're going to play with minimal contact and be happy with it. And for those of us that don't want to watch the Pro Bowl, don't watch it. You don't have to watch
but
it.
That was
but that's
the,
just
that,
a fun
that was
thing
the
to
main
do.
Event. Ooh. Is different than a celebrity game.
Still your option.
Where
buddy.
The celebrity game is not the main event. Now, your main event should be a quality event.
That's
and the
not,
pro
you're
the
missing,
Pro Bowl is not a quality event.
You just spoke to this moments ago. Now think ahead on this. What we're talking about is predominantly black people who get to enjoy the riches of this event. And not everything is life-threatening. 83% of the NFL are African-Americans. So these brothers, for the most part.
That percentage is way like 20% too high, but go ahead.
Okay, well, now Kevin Cameron said that, America.
And that's pretty much a fact.
Kevin Cameron said that.
Yes.
I didn't say that.
Yes.
In the aftermath of the Black Panther breaking all theatrical records, Kevin Cameron made that comment about black people, not me. So
I said you're 80% of the NFL
look, pay them
way
brothers,
over.
Pay them brothers that money. Get that $50,000 extra for your kids and grandkids to go to college and all that. Go to Hawaii with your family and take advantage
of
that.
But you could get everything without the game, Bill.
And if they want to do, if the NFL wants to support it and sponsorship wants to pay money for commercials, who cares?
I'm saying get everything without the game.
Let's do this. Let's get back to Marcus, because me and you can have this conversation when the lights go off. Hey, Marcus, talk to me about college basketball. You played the game on that level.
Yeah.
You've seen Duquesne. You've seen Pitt. Duquesne is on the upswing. They're back in the mix, if
back
you will.
In the mix.
I mean, second in the Atlantic 10.
Indeed.
Behind Rhode Island. Pitt struggles now 0-15 in the ACC.
Yeah.
Having played the game with that, let me put you on the team at Pitt right now as a college athlete. How would you be feeling right now? What would you be thinking? How would you be approaching your next potential loss?
To be in the ACC, I'd be really, really disappointed. To be one supposed to be, a perennial powerhouse university and to not be able to put it together. I'm not sure what they're doing with the recruits or what's going on that campus, but I'd be looking to make a move right now.
And that's what happened last year. Some of those players on that team when Stallings came in, it was a combination of a couple things. We talked about it a couple times. Stallings threw some of those guys under Kevin Stallings, the new coach at Pitt, now in his third year, threw some of those guys under the bus. I mean, admittedly. As a matter of fact, I think it's so admittedly that somebody apparently got in his ear because he doesn't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't the right thing to do with young student-athletes. A coach should take the lion's share of the blame for whatever goes wrong, unless it's something so apparent that you have to address it. So some of those guys left willingly. He dismissed some of them. What's the big kid that was in Mix? Is it Mix or Nix? The big kid that was in the paint. The big kid that came off the bench.
You mentioned him last week.
His brother plays for the Steelers. Kid's 7 foot tall. He came in at 350 pounds, way overweight. He dropped 50 pounds, showed a willingness to get himself in basketball shape. They dismissed him. Now today, you would appreciate having him. Pitt,
indeed,
because you have nobody else to take up space in the paint. So they're between a proverbial rock and a hard place.
So we just had Darrell Porter here last week, and you brought the same player up, Bill, and he mentioned that he's not a scorer. He might be able to take up some space and get a couple rebounds.
No, I'm not trying to recruit him back. I'm simply saying the state of affairs are so bad that those kind of things being considered in the aftermath would be appreciated now.
I think it's reflective of the conflict that's being increased between the business of college basketball and the actual student, because a lot has come to head in regards to the compensation of the players and if they deserve compensation and what is fair for them to get as compensation. So I think that this is a unique space for college basketball right now because the business is conflicting with the well-being of the student athlete.
Well, I always think that's been the case, but with Pitt, it's a totally different situation. It all comes down to coaching. That's pretty much it for college athletics, coaching. If you have the right coach, you'll be able to go out and recruit, and you'll be successful. And there just needs to be a change with the head coach. I know that he signed a 6-year deal, and he's in year two. However, if you want to get this thing turned around, and I mentioned before, I'm not someone who believe in paying someone for not being productive. But for the sake of the program, in this situation, I think it's necessary.
Well, I think the AD will agree with you. And we'll come back and talk about that and so much more. Not to forget that Robert Morris is in a good
position. I know, they are, yeah.
And the Duquesne women's basketball program is. So more college basketball talk, more basketball talk in general, and an update coming to you about the ABA reunion, the reunion for the great Connie Hawkins. We'll be right back in a moment.
Call RSG Financial for your bookkeeping, accounting, and tax service needs. Call 412-742-4345. RSG Financial provides accounting and tax services for business and personal needs. Call us or email MaryJo@RiversideSalesGroup.com. Riverside Sales Group is proud to be an organization with minority ownership. Call today, 412-742-4345.
Looking for some magic? Urban Media Today Radio, for the very best in adult and urban music. Listen to us on our app at TuneIn or Live 365. Urban Media Today features great music, entertainment updates, HBCU sports, breakfast, toast, and jams mixes for your morning wake up, and sports. Like us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram and register to win prizes on a weekly basis. All right here on Urban Media Today Radio.